Please, and go with me to John chapter 18. Some years ago on a ferry boat, the great preacher E.M. Bounds, and if you find any books that are written by E.M. Bounds, buy them and then give them to me. He met a Christian gentleman, and in their conversation, E.M. Bounds asked this gentleman and said, you know a guy named Dr. Henry Clay Turnbull? And by the way, I'll take all the books of his too. Yes, he said, in fact, I just saw him a couple days. Oh, what a great Christian. He is so real and so intense about his Christianity. In fact, he was in my home a few years ago, and we were talking about prayer, and he said, I said, do you mean to tell me even if you lose a pencil, you would pray about it and ask God to find it? Of course I would. Of course I would, he said, was his instant reply. His faith was real, a real thing. And like the Savior, he put his doctrine strongly by taking an extreme illustration to embody the principle. But the principle is fundamental. He did trust God in everything. And the Father honors those who trust in him. I think sometimes we forgot this four-letter word, prayer. Pray. We forget how to pray. We forget we should pray. We are not intense in our prayers. And I want to talk to you today about prayer. Father in heaven, I beg you today that you'd help us, Lord, to understand that prayer has to do with an entire man. And Lord God, if we have no way to communicate with you, we're lost. So, dear God, I pray you'd help us now, Lord, as we look into the Word of God and see what you had to say about it. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer has to do with the entire man. I've heard a lot of people say that, well, if God already knows it, why do I need to pray about it? God knows everything. But God commanded us that we ought to pray. In fact, Paul the Apostle said we ought to pray always, always in prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer takes a man in his whole being, and prayer takes the man's mind, and prayer takes the man's soul, and prayer takes the man's body. It takes the whole man to pray. Prayer is a very difficult thing. It takes a lot of intense. I know many times I'll be praying and all of a sudden things keep popping in my mind. In fact, when I was praying here and asking God to bless the offering, God reminded me that my tithe check was in my money clip. Now, what I do in that, and may I encourage you, is that you would keep a spiral notebook or keep a 3x5 card with you, so when God does bring something in your mind and you're praying, just write it down and get on with life. Amen. But a lot of times God will bring things to my mind, and I'll just keep going, and after a couple of days, I should have done that. And God, the Holy Spirit, is closest to me then, and he's talking to me, and he's saying, hey, remember this. Now, there are some things that will get in your way. I was talking to a man who just lost his wife 2 weeks ago. His name is Milo. I love Milo. Milo's a great old friend of mine. And Milo's wife passed away a couple weeks ago, and I just found out about it and on Friday, so I went over to see him and came in, read scripture to him, and prayed with him. And he said, you know, my wife loved to pray, and she'd get so mad at me. She'd be in the bedroom praying. And I was getting ready to go to bed, and I'd come in and say something. She said, shut up, I'm praying. Amen. About time somebody tells us to do that, amen. But prayer is a time that we come before a holy God of heaven. In fact, the Bible says that we're to come boldly before the throne of grace and find, and we're to come to him. Come boldly. And we need help. You know, some places you've got to go to somebody and tell them your prayer so that they can pray to God. God said, no, I made you the priest of the believer. You can pray right straight to me. Come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy in time of need. I can go right straight to God with my needs and my trouble. Here's another good thing. When I go to straight to God, I don't have to go to somebody else and tell them some of the things that I really don't want anybody else to know about. Are there some things in your life that you go to before God and tell Him the things that are happening in your life, things you're thinking in your life, the problems in your life? You just won't rather not tell that to people. Prayer affects the entire man in his gracious results. As the whole nature of man enters into prayer, so all that belongs to man is a beneficiary of prayer. Think of this. When you go before God and you tell Him what's going on in your heart and your life, do you think God wants to hear that? Absolutely. I think there's stages in our prayers we all use. I use a formula like this. First of all, I go to God and introduce myself. He knows who I am, but I'm still telling Him who I am. Amen. And then I ask Him to forgive my sins. The Bible said, "He that you know, if I have iniquity in my heart, the Lord not hear me." I want to make sure that I get things straightened out. Amen. And I ask Him to forgive my sins. I remember Dr. Jack Hiles was telling about John Rice, and John Rice was had a roll of toilet paper, and he was writing some of that toilet paper. And Brother Rice, and Brother Hiles says, Brother John, he said, "What you doing?" He said, "I'm writing down my sins." He said, "Let me see that." He said, "No," and he flushed it down the toilet. Amen. I don't want anybody to know what I'm thinking about. Do you? Let's pretend today. Let's just pretend with all the knowledge that we have today and our smartphones and our iPads and all this wonderful stuff. Let's just today, if we could, take a bunch of diodes and just stick them on our head. And then all of a sudden, on an overhead projector, flash everything that our mind has thought and the things we've done all week. How many would like to be the first one to sign up to do that? Don't lie to me. Thank God we can go to God and say, "Dear God, here is my problem. Here is my sin. God, forgive me of these sins." Amen. And the Bible said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar because the truth is not in us. I don't know about you, but you're dealing with dirt. God said, "We're all made of." He said, "I know your frame, it's but dust." All of us have trouble. All of us have heartaches. All of us, all the people that tell me the things that are going on in their life, and I know what's going on in my life, and boy, I'll tell you what, it is a struggle to stay straight with God. Amen. It is a struggle to stay clean with God. It is a struggle because constantly Satan keeps bombarding me, and not only my own flesh keeps bombarding me. Therefore, I need prayer. And I will promise you, when you get in on your knees someplace on your face before God, by yourself, you ain't going to play a King James prayer. What is the King James prayer? "Dear God, bless me and my wife, Jeroboam, Rehoboam, the other bone brothers." Amen. 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 We get right down to brass tacks, and we say, "Dear God, I am no good." I tell you what, there's nothing more beautiful than when you get before God, and there's nothing more, I guess you could say naked, is before standing before God and say, "Dear God, you know who I am. And I ain't putting on nothing, because if we try to put on something to God, He'd know about it." Amen? That's why it's so important that God wants us to pray. God wants us to pray. All of man receive benefits in prayer. The whole man must be given in God in prayer. The largest result in praying comes to him who gives himself, all of himself, and belongs himself to God. This is the secret of full consecration. And this is the condition, successfully prayer, and the sort of praying which bring forth the largest fruit. John chapter 18, we see the Savior getting closer to His death. We call this the Passion Week. And every step He took and each path He took brought Him closer to Calvary. After the institution of the Lord's Supper in the early part of the evening, we find John chapter 18, verse 1, telling us He's crossing the Brook Kidron. You may remember the book Kedron is the Bible in your Bible reading. King David passed over the same brook when he and his family were fleeing from the betrayal of his rebellious son Absalom that took over his throne from him. And across that small stream, which is located on the backside of the temple, is the Mount of Olives. The stream flows from east to Jerusalem and divides the city into the Mount of Olives. There was a garden in the hill called Gethsemane. Gethsemane comes from two Hebrew words signifying valley of fatness or a fertile valley, and also an olive press, which is filled with olives. Jesus spent a lot of time up there. I don't know about you, but yesterday was very hot. Very hot. We were coming through Cascade. It was 97 degrees. I mean, it was hot. You couldn't get away from it. It was just like getting baked. And the amazing thing about Gethsemane was that this is a place that had a lot of olive trees. It was up Mount of Olives, and there's a nice breeze that blows up there. And many times people would have these gardens up there, places like that, to in the evening they had a home down in Jerusalem, but also had a home up there. Kind of like a cottage or a summer home up there to get away from the heat. And this is where the Lord Jesus Christ reverted many times. It was short distance from Jerusalem. Had a commanding panoramic view of the city. Panoramic view of the city. Jesus probably went there because of the silent at night. And free from interruption from the great city of Jerusalem. It was a great place to retire and get to prayer. Luke said that he went as he was wont. He was accustomed to going to the Mount of Olives, enforcing his example, what he had so often done in the precept of the duty of retiring of the noise and the bustle to hold communion with God. I don't know about you, but I'm caught up in that hustle and bustle of this world. So are you. It just seemed like it's so hard to find some moment, just some place that's quiet, away from phones and all the other wonderful gadgets that we have that we carry in our pockets or have in our vehicles. It's just so hard to get away. And the Lord Jesus Christ found a place. I'm going to ask you this question today. Have you found a place? Do you have a place that you can get away from everything? I look at you. Sweet little mamas out here with your Chrysler motors, Rugrats, you name what they are. I'll tell you what, it's pretty hard to get away from them, isn't it? Because you don't want to be away from them. You've got to have a place. You can't leave them alone. I mean, that's the worst thing you do, leave your child alone. But you got to find a time. I don't know about you, but raising a kid takes a lot of prayer. Takes a lot of prayer. Takes a lot of concentration. I don't know how you women do it. You're carrying one. You got one on the hip, bouncing like that, and you're stirring the soup for dinner, amen. And plus talking on the phone. Plus listening to music. Plus having a conversation with your other kid. And don't do that, and get out of that, and don't put that in the toilet, and don't. I don't know how you do it. I just don't understand how you do it. But some way, God has given you multitask, multi-purpose girls, amen. Thank God for that. And by the way, thank God that parents are young. Now the Bible says in verse 2 that Jesus oft time resorted thither. Remember, he had no home in the city, and we suppose that he sought this place away from the hustle and bustle, the confusion of the capital, to provide communion that he'd have with his heavenly Father. I want you to look at this perfect God-man, who knew how to communicate with his perfect Father. He knew how to pray perfectly. And he gave us a perfect example. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. He was not afraid to pray alone in the wilderness. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. He was not afraid to go up the mountain to pray all night. Luke chapter 6 and 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to the Father. No wonder Jesus got so much done. He prayed with others up in the mountain. Luke chapter 9 verse 28. And it came to pass about the eighth day after these sayings, he took Peter, James, and John and went up the mountain to pray. He prayed alone in the afternoons and the evening, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up the mountain apart to pray. And when his evening was come, he was there alone. I do think we have a few mountains around here in Montana to find a place to go to. Most of you go mountain with your gun, but anyway. He prayed when others told him that he was too busy. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and his disciples rebuked him. He prayed on his face in different positions before the Heavenly Father. Matthew 26, verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and praying, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou wilt. He prayed early in the morning in a solitary place. He was lonely. He was desolate. An inhabited place. Mark chapter 1:25, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. He changed when he prayed. Luke chapter 9, verse 29, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. He prayed while others watched. Luke chapter 11, 1. And it came to pass that, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John has taught his disciples. He taught others to pray. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, after this manner also therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He taught others how to pray. Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast, shut thy door. And pray thy Father, which is in secret. And the Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. He prayed while others slept. Luke 9:32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake. He prayed for others. Luke chapter 22, verse 32. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He prayed in agony. Luke 22:44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as the great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He prayed when no else prayed. Luke chapter 22:45. And when he arose from praying, he was come to the disciple and found them sleeping in sorrow. He prayed while encouraging others to pray. Luke 22:46, and he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Arise and pray, lest ye enter in temptation. He prayed while others slept in fear. Luke 25:45, again in the sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Arise and not enter in temptation. While he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before him and drew near unto him and kissed him. He prayed for those who would come to him in the future. I love this prayer. John 17:20. Neither pray I for these alone, but also for them also that shall believe on me through their word. You see, Jesus believed in prayer. I would suspect if Jesus had a special place to pray, I think it could a pretty good idea for you and I to find a place to pray. If Jesus had all these lists of things that he did, I think it'd probably be a good idea, since we are his and since we are to emulate him, or we're to fashion ourselves after him, or we're to pattern our life, I suspect it might be a good idea some of us would start doing the same thing he does, amen. I was thinking about that, and the men of old that prayed, who wrought well in prayer. They got things done, amen, who moved God to do great things, were men and women who were entirely given over to God in prayer. God wants man to give his all so that he may answer his prayer. He desires the wholehearted man through whom to work out his purpose and plan and concerning men. God must have a man of his entirety, not a double-minded man. And may I say, he need not apply. Because look at what James says, James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men to all men liberally and breedeth not. It shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let no man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in his ways. No vacillating man should apply. No man that has a divided allegiance to God in the world should apply. Daniel prayed on his knees three times a day, looking towards the east, toward Jerusalem. Solomon prayed while he was in bed. Solomon prayed while he was on his knees in the temple in his dedication. Our Lord laid prostrate himself in that memorable season of prayer of the betrayal. If our Lord Jesus Christ needs a place to get away, don't you think we all need a place to get away? We need to find a grove or a room or a garden where we may be alone, where we can offer up our love and we can talk to him about his love for us, and the devotion to our God. And praying is no light and trifling exercise, may I say. It's not easy to pray. It takes a lot of work. That's why most people don't pray. It takes time. When children are taught to pray, they ought to be reminded that God loves them. It's a pretty mean parent to tell your child God don't love them because they did something wrong. Because if that's true, we're all in big trouble. God loves us no matter what. Now, he's going to take the Board of Education, the seat of learning, to us and remind us that we need not to be acting like that to the other people to think that we can get away with it. But a child ought to be taught how to pray. I can't remember who it was. Yes, I do remember who it was. We went out, Julie and Eric went out to eat. And we went to the Golden Corral, and I said something like, pray. And that little Isabella, just like that, I mean, just like someone said, all you guys popped to attention. I mean, I said, let's pray. She was like this. I said, man, you know, kids don't learn that just being around the preacher. Kid learns that at home. Kid learns that all the time. You pray, man, they're there. Amen. I can tell whether you pray at home. All I can say is, let's pray. And your kid's screwing around, messing around, doing things, picking up things, throwing things and everything. But I'm going to tell you something. I can tell you've taught your child to pray. I promise you that. I've been around a long time. I watch kids. I watch them. You don't have to. One man said, the greatest thing ever happened is the pastor's wife is a first grade Sunday school teacher. She knows everything going on at the house. Prayer draws upon the whole nature of man. Prayer engages all the power of man's moral and spiritual nature. It is this which explains somewhat the praying of the Lord described in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, who in the days of flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. You ought to write that down. You ought to read that over. You ought to check that out. Hebrews 5:7. Hebrews 5:7. Write that in the back of your Bible. You ought to, that teach you a little bit about prayer. It takes only a moment thought to see how such praying of our Lord drew mighty upon the powers of the being and called unto exercise every part of his nature. This is the praying which brings the soul close to God, which brings God down to earth. Body, soul, and spirit are taxed and brought under great tribute of prayer. David Brainerd, the great, great missionary, only lived a few years after his ministry with the Native Americans in the East. God enabled me to agonize in prayer till I was wet with perspiration, though in the shade in a cool place. The God in Gethsemane was in agony of prayer, which engaged his whole being. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, "Pray ye, and enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them in the stone cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And he appeared an angel unto him from heaven and strengthened him. Being in agony, he was praying more earnestly and sweat by the great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Prayer brings revival. James Duncan preaching the great unction and power. Oh my, what a preacher he was years and years ago. Was asked what the secret of his such powerful preaching. He said, "The secret," he said, 13 hours of consecutive prayer. When asked the secret of the spiritual power, Charles Spurgeon said, "Knee work. Knee work." Livingston of Scots, one of the two different occasions, preached with such great power. In each service, 500 people were converted. Both sermons were preceded by a whole night of prayer before he began to preach. Charles Finney, after spending a day in the woods in praying and fasting, preached that night in a phenomenal, ill-religious congregation. The sermon was accompanied by such divine power that the whole congregation, except one man, fell prostrate on the floor. And the voices of their agony under conviction of sin, in such outcry, Finney had to stop preaching. Nobody could hear him. Uncle John Vass, his pastor, said he absolutely prayed day and night, prayed about everything, prayed almost everything, prayed with almost everybody he met. He prayed when he went out. He prayed when he came in. He prayed before every religious service. He prayed all the way through it. I occupied the same room with him one night, and I couldn't remember him stop praying when I went to sleep, and when I woke up, he was still praying. That's the difference. Now let me ask you this question. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God-man, he who was God, had to find a place to pray, where's mine? Where's yours? If prayer is such a powerful thing that the Son of God could not keep from praying, and what's wrong with us Christians? I thought we were to pattern our life after the Lord Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. What has happened to us? We come to our church, and thank God for that, because there is a Bible verse for that. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, the manner of some is, but exhorting one another is so much the more as you see a day approaching. Yes, sir, you're supposed to be in church. But what about our private, secret prayer time with God? You ever hear somebody say, "Oh, I just love you"? You ever heard anybody say that? I just love you. and they don't spend any time with you? You'd say, yeah, right. Down deep inside your soul, you'd say, yeah, right. Would somebody find a place for this guy to land? Anybody got blue shoes? I ought to get a pair of shoes that have blue like that, man. I'll tell you what. Kevin, you ready? I'm just about done here. You got 4 minutes. Everybody on Sunday say, hey, anything you do, just let me know. Hey, could you, I'm sorry, I'm busy. And you're deep down inside, you're saying what? Yeah, right. Dear Jesus, I love you. And Jesus says, how much you love me. Well, Lord, I'm kind of busy right now. I got to go ride my motorcycle. We got to go down fishing. Lord, relatives are coming, and Lord, you know how it is. I can't do that. I wonder if God says, yeah, right. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you love me? Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Just, hey, Peter, you really love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Hey, Peter. You really love me? Feed my lambs. And Peter got what? Got upset. Got mad. Because the Lord God of heaven questioned him if he loved him. If you really love somebody, I mean really, really, really love somebody, you are at their beck and call. You want to have fellowship. You want to have time alone. And I say, God, I love you. And I say, dear God, thank you for these Cheerios. Amen. Lord, thank you for the dinner. Amen. Lord, thank you for the supper. Amen. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my kids. And that's good and wonderful, but don't you think that it'd be nice to have a good, long conversation with the Almighty God who says, hey, come on in. Come on in the throne room of God. God's there. And your lawyer, your interceder, is there. And you can come and find strength and power and enjoyment and thrills that you'll never know, that know that God will answer your prayers. But boy, I'll tell you what, few people ever go to the storehouse of God. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how to pay this bill. Just God. Did you ask God? Did you take time out of your quote-unquote busy schedule of life and maybe take your and pencil in, this is the time I'm going to spend with God? Or, you know, every once in a while I feel this way. Come before God and said, Lord, this is Sheldon. You haven't heard from me for a day here, and I know I've said thank you for the Cheerios and the banana and the gob of peanut butter I ate for breakfast, and I know I thank you for that McDonald's hamburger, and I thank you for that that meal we had at home, and I asked you to keep me safe today, and I know I read the scriptures and asked you to teach me, but boy, I haven't spent much time with you. Only a father knows. Only a father knows what it is to fellowship with his children. Hello, Dad. Got some questions I'd like to ask you. What's old Dad do? We sell up like that banny rooster chicken and start crowing, brother, right there, amen. We start grunting like an old pig out in the yard, amen. We start bellowing like an old bull when we hear from the children. And my word of God says, God's word tells me that he loves me more than a father can love his children. And I don't spend but a few minutes in prayer to him. And mostly out of legality, Lord, bless his food or our body, amen. The other day I was jumped in one of the sheriff cruisers and got in buckled up and I always pray. Well, we were going to call, and I thought, well, we'll get buckled on. He'll take off, and I'll just pray when he's driving. I always say, okay, buddy, you do the driving, I'll do the praying, amen. And he just stopped. Chaplain, ain't you going to pray? And I said, well, I was going to, but I'll do it right now. Good, he says. He wanted me to talk to God for him. I was sitting at a restaurant with one of them the other day, and they brought out the chips. So I took a chip, put it in my mouth, and the lieutenant looks at me, and he says, Chaplain, ain't you going to ask God to thank for the food? I said, well, this is just the entree. He says, I thought, dear God, I pray you'd forgive me my sins. And his nickname is Sinner. How you doing, sinner? It ought to get to the point in our life, like old Uncle John Vassar, always praying all the time. Coming in, coming out, whatever we're doing, ought to pray. I love it this morning. Somebody banged down my door in my office, and I was kneeling at my chair praying for you folks. You listen to my sermon today. And he says, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bother you. Sorry, your preacher is praying. You need to pray. You need to be on your knees so that little baby can see you pray. You need to be on your knees, Grandpa and Grandma, so your grandkids can see you pray. And you need to get some prayer answered and then just pop them off to the kids and say, hey, you know what God did for me? I was praying for this. Thank God. Look what happened. Hey, you need to advertise what God does for you, amen? Hey, it's not me. It's not me because the prayer got answered. It's because God answered my prayer. You ought to advertise. You ought to give testimony. Say, boy, last week, this is what happened. You ever have a really bad day? Everything going wrong. And all of a sudden, through all that fog and smoke, God just says, here, son, just want you to know, I know you're having a bad day, but I thought I'd just bring it to you sooner you needed it. Christmas, do you ever have Christmas before Christmas? Just get the kids all fired up. Hey, let's open a present tonight. I think that's what God does to us. God said, I made you in my likeness, in my fashion. God loves you more than your daddy loves you. More than your mama loves you. And he wants you to know that I love you. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he died that terrible, horrific death on the cross, so that you could go to heaven someday. Whew. Deserve it? A million billion times no. Accept it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Father, I pray you'd be with us today. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are a God who answers prayer. Lord, you prayed to your Father constantly while you were on earth. And Lord, you are God. My soul, what should I do? I'm mere human. I'm a mere mortal. I'm flesh. I'm a piece of dirt, dust. God, I pray you'd help me. And each one of us today, that we would come before the throne of grace and find mercy in time of need. And we certainly are in a time of need. Lord, I pray today, first of all, there'd be anyone here today that have not made the most important prayer they ever make. And that is, God, forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me. Dear God, I pray that you would speak to the hearts, Holy Spirit of God. Speak to the hearts of people that are not saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would be that day. And then, Lord God, for those who have not sought a place, have not found a place to pray, Lord God, I pray right now they're thinking. And by God's grace, they said, I'm going to find a place away from the hustle and bustle of this world so that I can have my moments with you, Lord God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. I'm not 100% sure, but I want to know that today. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, why don't you right now say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Just pray it with me. Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and be my Savior today. A man that does not have Christ in his heart, God does not answer your prayer. You're not his son or daughter. The first prayer you'll ever be able to make, and you may pray it a bunch of them, but the first prayer you'll ever make is, and God will hear you, is that, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins coming to my heart. You hear today and say, preacher, I prayed that prayer. Would you lift your hand today? I prayed that prayer today. I asked Jesus to be my Savior. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Sure, I'll pray it once more. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and be my Savior today. Anyone else? Say, yes, preacher, pray for me. I did that. I promise you I will not point you out, but I want to thank God for you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd be with us today. Lord, thank you for this time that we can think about prayer and preach about prayer. I pray, Lord God, that we would pray to you. Lord God, you did to your Father. Oh, my soul, what about us? We're just mere humans. We're mortals that are going to die someday. God, I pray today that you'd speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to be down front. Let's all stand. Everyone's standing. You're here today and say, preacher, today, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know for sure. Let's all stand. I need to be saved. I need to know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Are you on your way to heaven? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Man, that's great. Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Secondly, have you followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism? Has there been a time in your life you said, I have trusted Christ my personal Savior, and I have been down in the water and up out of water, and that shows people that I believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose on the third day. You're there and say, preacher, we've been looking for a church. We need to join a church. Maybe you're here. You say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. We want to serve God here. Why don't you come at this time?